إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم ومن والاه بعد. Now, brothers and sisters, as we were talking, the Islamic system is a complete way of life. It is not restricted to one aspect of our lives. It encompasses all our needs and all the aspects of our lives. The Islamic system is not based on any culture. It is not based on any custom and practice of any place. The Islamic system is not Arabic. The Islamic system is not Indian. The Islamic system is not American. The Islamic system is Islamic. The Islamic system, like any other system, is very important to understand these things, is beneficial, and it functions like any system, provided it is adopted fully and completely. Like any system, one aspect of it supports another aspect of it. If you take one piece of it and you don't take the rest of it, then that one piece will not make any sense. Take any system you like. Take any law of any country, take any system. It makes any part of that system will make sense only when it is fitted into the whole. If you just take one piece out of it, it won't make sense. So also in the Islamic system. The third point is that the Islamic system also functions like any other legal system based on two things. One is the person's own inherent good sense, own inherent social sense of social responsibility. So one part of it. And the second part of it, it functions on the issue of enforcement. So, if somebody does not have this good sense and does not have a social responsibility, then obviously there has to be some form of enforcement of the law. Otherwise, you will have chaos. Best example is to look at our own country today. Because there seems to be a complete breakdown in enforcement of the law, therefore rape and murder, which are two of the worst crimes, have become epidemic. It's like a hobby. Anyone can do it. And the reason people feel that they can do it is because they feel that they are seeing that when people are doing it, nothing happens to them. So enforcement has failed. The law is there. The law is there. The law is very much, it's a good law. The law is very much in practice. The law has not been abolished. It is not being enforced. So obviously, there are the vast majority of people for whom that law is not, there's no need to enforce it because they don't have a need to murder anybody. But for the few people who do not have this sense of social responsibility or sense of morality, enforcement is required. Same thing is the situation with the Islamic law. There is the appeal to human intellect and to moral values and ethics and so on. But where that fails or that does not appeal to somebody, then there is the enforcement of the law, both in this world, which brings us to the criminal system, and in the akhirah with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which brings us to the very essence of Islam, which is taqwa. Is the awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's presence in our lives, is the willingness to ensure that we do not disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any way, because we love Him more than anybody else, and we fear His punishment when we meet Him on the Day of Judgment. So even if somebody does something and manages to get away with it, still there is no escape for them, because on the Day of Judgment, they will be hauled up before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just because somebody could not enforce the law here, does not mean that they are saved. The reason I'm saying it is because to understand Islamic, the principles of Islamic, I'm not doing any course on fiqh here, but to understand the whole principles of Islamic legal system, we have to understand these principles, which is to say that the legal system makes sense like any legal system in totality, and that it makes sense and it will work provided people have the sense of social responsibility and morality, and they are afraid of the enforcement of this law. These are very important things to understand in terms of the law. Now, I am not going into a list of all the different laws and the freedoms or the lack of freedom and so on and so forth, because that's not the purpose of this. The purpose of this is to help us understand the issues about the legal system itself, right? Therefore, whenever we look at any aspect of the law which may apply to us, say for example, you take the issue of interest-based banking, right? Or so basically, dealing with banks, interest-based banks, whether it's for home loans or for vehicle loans or to get a loan for business, or if you have some funds, you whether you should put it out in the market, lend it out in the market, and so on, questions like this. If you want to look at that and say, you know, in Islam, this is obviously it is haram, it's not permissible, but this is affecting our economy and we can't do a business, and we have to look at this in totality in terms of what this does for society at large. It's not a question of I want a car, I can get a car easily. That's not the issue. The issue is not one individual. The issue is what does this thing do to society at large. Similarly, if you take all the prohibitions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and as I mentioned, prohibitions are very few. That's the whole point of prohibition. It's not as if everything is prohibited. Everything is not prohibited. Everything is permitted, except those which are prohibited, and those are very few in number. And if you look at those, intrinsically, each one of them is harmful in itself. Now, to contrast it, if you take what society at large does today, for example, prostitution has been made legal. Right? It's not haram anymore. It's not prohibited anymore. Right? In many countries, it's not only one. In many countries. Now, does it mean that prostitution, therefore, is a good thing to good thing to do? I mean, would you suggest that to your wife and daughters as a alternate career choice, just because it is legal? But people have made it legal. The governments have made it legal. Who are governments? Governments are people. They are people like you and me. Marijuana, the consumption of marijuana for recreational purposes. This is from the U.S. and Canadian law. For recreational purposes, marijuana, opium and morphine, I mean, things like this have been allowed for medicinal use as painkillers and so on. That's, one understands that, you know, there is a reason for why you are using that. We are talking about recreation use means what? You want to have a pot party, you can do that today legally. The police cannot catch you, nobody can catch you. You can sit there and smoke pot, you know. How much? As much as you want. So, you can sit there and smoke pot all night, called recreational use, and you are not breaking any law because the law has been changed. So, you are doing something which is perfectly legal. Now, at the end of that, you are obviously intoxicated. What that does to you internally, physically, mentally, emotionally, in a medical sense is a different issue. But what that will then make you do in terms of behavior, which affects society, is a different issue. And none of that is, nobody is going to smoke this great pot and after that the person is not going to be, you know, spending time doing wonderfully constructive things in society. Yet, it is legal. It is 100% legal. Recreational use. Today, there's a term in the US, we call them green millionaires. And green millionaires are not people who are concerned about their carbon footprint. Green millionaires are people who are making millions of dollars worth of money cultivating marijuana. It is legal. But is it good? I mean, ask anyone with any common sense. I'm not saying Muslims. Forget Muslims. Ask anyone with any common sense. And if it is good, then why don't you do it in your home? Please do it. Get marijuana and get all your children together and your wife and so on and so forth, and everybody sit and smoke pot. They are not doing that. It's still happening in clubs. It is still happening in private parties and so on and so forth. I don't know of any, you know, American or Canadian home where people are sitting at home and saying, you know, let's smoke marijuana. They're not doing that. Why are you not doing that? If it's good, do it now. You legalize it. You made a law, which means that you think it is good. You legalize prostitution. So do it. Suggest it to your children. This is a good choice. Why don't you become a prostitute? Right? Why do you say it's bad? You legalized it. This is the difference between the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the laws of people. The laws of human beings are based on passing whims and fancies. Today you feel something is good, you make a law, legalize it. Tomorrow you think it is bad, you take it off. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's laws are made on principles of goodness which are inimitable. They are unchangeable. What is good, what is not good cannot become good. Poison is poison, food is food. You can't suddenly say, I'm going to start eating arsenic because, you know, it looks nice. No. This is the difference. And that is what we have to understand. And as I told you, some of this stuff will hurt because we have got used to a lifestyle which is based on satisfying our nafs. Yesterday, we had an interesting conversation with one of my very dear friends. There is this term nowadays called pursuit of happiness. So, he said, what do you think of pursuit of happiness? I said, happiness is not a fox running away. You have to pursue it and catch it. I said, happiness is a state of mind and heart which is generated from inside as a result of gratitude, as a result of thankfulness. That is happiness. Happiness is not in the possession of things. I won't become a happier man suddenly if somebody gives me a gold brick. I'll actually become, that gold brick will be actually become a problem for me because now I have to look after it. Somebody will steal it. Somebody might murder me for that gold brick. Happiness is not to be pursued. It's not running away somewhere. Happiness is an internal state of being that arises out of gratitude towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, gratitude to the people, whoever has given you, done something good for you, you whatever you have, no matter what it is. We say, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alamin. I was washing dishes the other day, and nowadays, you know, we routinely use those sponges. It's got a rough edge on one side and it's got a sponge on the other side, and you have dishwashing fluid. So no matter how greasy the pot is, you put a little dishwashing fluid, you do that and it's clean. And I remember washing dishes when I was a little kid. We used to use wood ash because food was cooked on wood stoves. We used to use wood ash and we used to use coconut husk. Wood ash and coconut husk. We used to sit and clean. And if the pot was greasy, it took a long time. That thing didn't clean fast. And I'm thinking to my washing this, I'm saying, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, may Allah bless whoever invented this thing. How much of ease to wash a dish? We're talking about washing dishes. We're not talking rocket science, but there is gratitude. There is something to be, for you to feel thankful about in something as simple as that. So, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. So, I remind myself and you, let us understand the Islamic system. And understand that if we really want to benefit from this Islamic system, we have to bring it into our lives completely. Totally. Whether it is rules of inheritance or whether it is how we live our lives, our social lives and so on and so forth. The whole thing must be taken together for it to make sense and for us to really benefit from that. If you try to take shortcuts and so on, as I told you, if you want to write a will to subvert the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, first and foremost, you are committing open shirk and kufr. That's a different issue. But secondly, it is not going to help you. The system will work if everyone works together in it. Then you will see the justice of it. Then you will see the beauty of it. If you don't do that, if you take one piece of this thing, then obviously it won't make sense, like any other system won't make sense. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalalu to enable us to follow the principles of this Sharia of Islam which are laid down by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu and by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so that the goodness of Islam comes into our lives fully and totally. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil karim wa alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.